A little review for those joining us this morning. We want everyone to just have the same view and same understanding. The general subject for this conference is living for the fulfillment of God's purpose. And in message one, we not only saw what God's purpose was, but we emphasized two matters. One is that each one of us was created by God to have a particular portion of Christ and life and grace that no one else has. That we are members of the body and everyone is precious and necessary. No one has the measure of Christ you have. No one. And when this touches the saints, the Lord will just be able to dispense more of himself, shepherd your soul more, uplift you higher, encourage you, supply you. You realize you matter. You were created, you were redeemed, you were brought into the Lord's recovery, all because you are on God's heart as someone chosen to be part of his corporate expression. And then we saw that through God's salvation, based upon Christ's redemption, we have been saved from a meaningless human life. So anyone, whether that one is a genuine believer or just an unbeliever, anyone who is trying to live for a purpose other than God's purpose will eventually realize your life has been meaningless. And we just thank the Lord that he brings us back to the very meaning of God's creation and God's purpose. And then last night in message two, the subject was enjoying God and living for his purpose. And we saw that God created us with a need for enjoyment and purpose. And enjoying God and living for God's purpose go together. I believe we are all learning little by little. We really cannot, in an absolute way, live for God's purpose unless we are enjoying God. Now, didn't we enjoy God last night? And we enjoyed him not only directly, but we enjoyed him and all the saints sharing afterward. And so we emphasize this matter of living for God's purpose by enjoying God. And God is the God of joy. And right now, as we're together, the Lord is praying on the throne in the heavenlies for us. And God, right now, wants to give himself as the God of joy to each one of us. Now I want to mention something that will lead us to message three. In preparation, following the Lord's leading prior to the meeting last night, I devoted quite a bit of time to searching through the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, of course, the ministers of the age. But eventually, in this matter, I concentrated on Brother Watchman Nee and the things that he shared. And there is in Washington, D.C., some kind of Bible Museum. And for a period of time, Living Stream Ministry has a portion showing, you know, some of the some of the things concerning the Bible and the ministry of these brothers. And I just learned yesterday that the last letter he wrote, I don't know how he got there, but I believe it was a brother that was in prison with him and was saved through him. And remember, he said this at the very end of his life. And really from the time he was saved, and as the Lord was perfecting him and using him as the minister of the age, he just had one kind of suffering after another. Physically in his health, he almost died. One time, this is his testimony, that he was in bed, and the saints there in the house expected him to pass away. But inwardly, the Lord was speaking these words, "Live by faith." And he knew he would live. And then the next word, "Stand by faith." And he stood up from the bed. And then the third word was, "Walk in faith." And he walked down the stairs and presented himself. And they were just astounded by what they saw. But later, he suffered from within some of the churches. They put him away. They would not allow him to carry out his ministry. And then eventually, as he was following the Lord, he spent 20 years in confinement. And he would never change his faith. One day, he was brought before some of those in charge. And they were testing him. "Will you denounce your faith in God and Christ?" And he said, "No." And then the Lord just struck him powerfully in his face. We learned from, you could say, this roommate or cellmate who eventually was brought to the Lord and has been in the Lord's recovery for many years. He was so weak, he couldn't go to the cafeteria for having food. And his roommate went and asked if he could bring Brother Nee's portion of food to him. And the guard said, "No, we don't do this. If he wants it, let him come here and get it." And so here, this newly saved believer, what he did is in the cafeteria there, he ate part of his own meal and he brought the rest to Brother Lee. While Brother Lee was in prison, his wife passed away. He just, in a sense, pleaded with them, "Could I just have a couple of days to go to her funeral?" They wouldn't allow it. One thing after another. And then the last thing he wrote was, "I have maintained my joy." I believe as I'm sharing this right now, there are saints right here in our gathering recently have been going through a difficult situation, suffering in particular ways. But here we have a testimony of a brother who was faithful to the end and was able to have joy deep within him in the midst of the suffering that he was passing through. And I take the time to mention this because now we are coming Now I have it here. We're coming to message 3. And you need to be prepared, saints, those of you that were there last night. I'm not saying don't let go of that. This is a permanent developing matter. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This is going to become more real. But now we are in Romans 8, and we're in a somewhat different realm. And so the subject is all things working together for good. All things, that means everything that happens and will happen to us throughout our entire life. And surely you know this includes heart-rending things, heartbreaking things, painful things, disappointing things. They work together for good, but not to every believer. To those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And while I am sitting here in an upstairs room in our rented house, and you are in the meeting place or at home, there's a battle raging in the spiritual realm. And the enemy needs to be exposed a little, and then we'll pay no more attention to him. We know from Revelation 12, he accuses us before God day and night. But we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and not loving our soul life unto death. But I want to emphasize this. The devil accuses us before God. And then in a subtle way, with his demonic forces, he slanders God to us. And especially when we are in difficult situations, painful, heartbreaking situations. This evil, terrible being comes and slanders God to attack our faith, to attack our love in God as God. And in many ways, for a period of time, he has been successful because those dear ones, whoever they may be, they don't realize these thoughts are not yours. They're injected into you by the enemy to slander God, to shake us. And therefore, that is why I've had the leading, the burden, and the responsibility to spend the next remaining 50 minutes or so on these four verses in Romans 8, 26 to 29. Because in the following week, we will all be in a particular situation. We don't know what will happen today, tomorrow. But we really need to have this word in us about all things. And the sovereign, wise God knows everything and why he allows all these things to happen. So let me read these four verses and then we'll start walking through the outline. Moreover, in like manner, the Spirit also joins in to help us in our weakness. For we do not know for what we should pray as is fitting, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. But he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, because those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And we will see that the good, the word good mentioned in verse 28, as many, sorry to say, shallow theologians and preachers say, oh, this means everything's going to be so good for you. Yes, you go through something. Oh, someone, you got a new car. You got a new Lexus. And then someone stole it and it was smashed. But don't worry. God will give you a Lamborghini. He's going to do something better for you. Or suddenly in the valley where so many work, you're just dismissed. They just fired 25 people. But you say, oh, no, that happened, but it's going to work together for good. I'll be hired by another company. They will pay me $325,000 a year instead of $200,000 a year. This has nothing to do with this. The good is God's purpose to have us conform to the image of his firstborn Son, that there will be a corporate expression of the triune God through the body of Christ manifested in the local churches. So now we come to the first section. The interceding Spirit helps us, sympathizes with us, sustains us, comforts us, and supports us by interceding for us. These are very touching words. Right now, the interceding Spirit is praying in all of us. He is. And we'll see at times, as it mentioned in one of the verses about this groaning, we can't utter it. That's why sometimes when we try to pray, we just kind of sigh. Oh, oh. Well, there's something behind that. That is the interceding Spirit. But I want to point out something about this interceding Spirit. So I'm reading verse 34, and it's referring to God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ Jesus who died, and rather who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Not just praying objectively. When you intercede, you are bearing that person's situation before God. You know what's taking place, or at least you sense what's taking place. And so, do we have then two persons interceding for us? No, this is the triune God is one. Right now, the glorified, enthroned God-man Jesus is interceding for us. And at the same time, the indwelling Spirit is interceding for us. So what the Lord is interceding in the heavens is the Spirit's interceding in us. And it's important that we don't just leap into verse 28 and try to understand it in isolation from the other verses. To realize, and I read point one again, the interceding Spirit helps us. And the more we realize we need help, even in praying, especially in praying, He sympathizes with us. He knows what we're experiencing. He knows what's happening. He sustains us. He knows that we may not be able to make it all the way through this. He comforts us and supports us by interceding for us. Point A, the Spirit who indwells us helps us in our weakness. In particular, the weakness in Romans 8:26 is weakness in prayer. Now, if anyone is quite confident in their praying, then the interceding Spirit doesn't stop, but has to intercede concerning the self-confidence of this one who really thinks, okay, I may not be able to prophesy very well, but whoa, my prayers are wonderful. Well, they're wonderful if they're really the Lord's prayers passing through you. And so, actually, it's a kind of unexpected blessing to realize our weaknesses. Because the more we realize this, the more the interceding Spirit has the room to pray for us. And we'll see there's a connection. And only God can really see it now. Between the interceding Spirit praying and the things that happen to us. And the interceding Spirit being God knows what's about to happen and knows about the effects of the things that are happening, but is interceding that the outcome of this will be the fulfillment of God's purpose in you, through you, and with you. Okay, point one, because we are weak in God's interest and in the divine things and do not know what kind of prayer God desires, the indwelling Spirit works in us to help us in our weakness in praying. I believe many of us have been following the war started by Putin with Ukraine almost 9 or 10 months ago. How do we pray about something like this? And my praying with a companion, Lord, what should we say? What should we ask? We don't understand what's happening. But if we are open to the indwelling Spirit, the spirits will flow forth. Two, the Spirit helps us in every kind of situation. And I believe little by little, we will all realize there are certain situations and certain matters. And yes, the saints love us. They care for us. They stand with us. But we realize only God can help me in this. Only God. And so the Spirit helps us in every kind of situation. It could be something troubling, but it's so superficial. I'm fond of using this illustration. You're coming to a big intersection. You're in the left turn lane. There are 8 cars in front of you. You're waiting for the green arrow to flash. And you're hoping that the drivers in front of you have reflexes so that they're not slow to respond. And, well, some of them did, but some of them don't. And when you come to the intersection, the arrow's red and you don't like it. I know what it's like because the Lord put me through this a lot so that doing those 2 minutes under the red arrow, I can do something other than kind of blame these non-reflex drivers in front of me. No, I'm wasting 2 minutes. Petty things like this. The Lord knows we're having some feeling, and this inhibits the Lord's dispensing, and the Lord's shepherding. Why don't you just say, Lord, I got 2 minutes to contact you, to enjoy you. Thank you, Lord. And then when it turns green, you've got a little more joy in you than when it turned red. But then there are things beyond description. I mean, the worst thing I've ever had to kind of try to help was in 1982. And a young boy, 12 years old, I knew him from the time he was born. And I was one of the teachers in children's meeting for the 6th graders. And that's where we wanted to be sure they were all saved. I was there when he was baptized. And one day he worked for a newspaper, delivering newspapers and trying to get people to sign up with the newspaper. He went to one apartment door. A man let him in. And to make the story short, he murdered him. He murdered him. For a couple of days, we didn't know what happened, where he was. But I was with his parents late at night, 3 a.m. in the morning, when the night detective was there. And he got the call that they found the body and it was his. How such a thing could happen? How do we pray? Only the interceding Spirit. Another situation, I can't get into that. Thank you, Lord. But for he knows our needs. The Lord Spirit knows our needs, not just God in the heavens. The indwelling interceding Spirit knows your needs right this moment and is interceding. He knows our needs, problems, and shortcomings. And he's not here judging our shortcomings. He's caring for us, comforting us, supporting us, knowing that we have these shortcomings. And he sympathizes with us, supports us, and sustains us. My dear brothers and sisters, what a wonderful provision this is. Because we're going to have to face the fact in verse 28, the sovereign God allows, or in some cases, causes certain things to happen. And we have no understanding of why and how and what we do. This is true of every human being on the earth. In a sense, it's even more intense in those that are really following the Lord and are consecrated to the Lord and are living for the fulfillment of God's purpose. It's more complicated because we're the target of the enemy and a warfare is going on. This is just a sidebar comment. I don't know when we will have a conference or if and when we will have a training, but eventually the Lord needs to have a bridal army. And she really knows how to pray the prayers of authority, of government, and warfare. But in the meantime, the Spirit is helping us, supporting us, and sustaining us. Why was it that I was lying there on the table and after they did the test on my heart, and my cardiologist was right next to me, and he had put in 5 stents before, some years ago, and he told me, "Ron, the stents are no more. This requires surgery." What enabled me to be immediately at peace? And just to tell him, let's do it. This is what I need. Let's do it. And then I hope it's okay to say, My wife was waiting in the waiting area, and the same cardiologist went out to see her and told her the same thing, and she had the same response. How could we have this response? We're not heroes. The Spirit was interceding the whole time, supplying, enabling us to do what in ourselves we could never do. Okay, B. The Spirit intercedes for us with groanings in our manner. Apparently, this is our groaning. But in our groaning is the groaning of the Spirit. Just for something, a little lightness, there was a dear brother who was a leading brother in the church. Honestly, he thought he was much more than that. He thought he was the one, the successor to Brother Lee. Anyway, he picked up this matter of groaning in prayer. And so he just set up a meeting on Saturday morning. Let's come together and groan. Let's just groan. Well, eventually Brother Lee realized this and shepherded him. It's just something deep within, beyond our utterance. And we can just kind of sigh and just utter a few words. Apparently, this is our groaning. But it is the groaning, our groaning is the groaning of the Spirit. As the Spirit works in us by helping us in our weakness, and by interceding for us, he infuses his, according to God, mind into us in our prayer. Eventually, the according to God mind enters our prayer. That we begin to have in our being renewed mind some understanding, some sense. And just please allow me to refer to my recent experience. As soon as I was told I must have open heart surgery, and it was quadruple, you know, bypass surgery, and almost instantly was the realization, this is a body matter. I cannot get through with this at my age without the body, the prayers. And Lord, this is also for the body. Not just the body supplying me, but for the body. And so the Lord infuses at least a little bit of according to the mind to realize, Lord, I'm just at peace with you. I love you. I rest in you. This is a body matter. And I can just praise him and worship him and glorify him for such a God. And he knew clearly, the indwelling interceding spirit knew, Ron, you are an elderly person, you've been in the Lord's recovery more than 55 years, but you still need certain dealings deep within your being. And also the Lord wants to work himself into you for your portion in the ministry. And so this is one of the things. Not giving two more messages in the training, rather being in the ER and then on the operation table. This was a thing from God, but the indwelling spirit supplied. And he's going to do everything and has done everything. I believe some of us that are older, the Lord, as you're having personal fellowship with him, that you just may kind of reflect on your past and you realize, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, how you brought me through this. Praise the Lord. Thank you for bringing me through that. And sometimes, a few times, I've had some conversation with the Lord, and I could honestly say, you know, thank you for this. And then I just ask him, I'm not trying to be clever. I'm just saying, you know, please don't allow this to happen again. And it's almost like the Lord said, no, that won't happen again. Other things will happen. And just with a holy smile, that we're not afraid of the future. So see, as the Spirit works in us by helping us in our weakness. Okay, I read that. Now two. The Spirit intercedes for us, and all things are working together for us so that we may be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God. And here, God is the center, the sovereign God. So the Spirit is interceding for us, knowing what the things will take place. So the Spirit and the things are working together. So the Spirit, in this case of the open heart surgery, they were working together to be conformed to the image of his firstborn Son. And I just long in my heart with you, and I believe many of you have the same yearning, that saints who have stumbled because certain things happened, and they blame God, and they're angry with God. If you're God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And then the enemy is aware of the thought and the feelings. And so the demon suddenly would just inject thoughts. God, that's what he's like. You want to serve him? Just try to have a joyful life yourself on your own. And just being in that church life and the 2 years you're in the full-time training, what was that? Look what's happening to you now. But the triune God who enabled Brother Nee to say, I have maintained my joy, he's our God, and he will bring us through. And we won't judge these ones who are offended by God, but we will have a heart for them, and we'll be able to testify to them, not argue. I have been through, honestly, I'm much older than you. I've been through much more things. And I love God more now than ever before, because this wise and faithful God led me through what I needed. And the Spirit interceded for me. And Christ made his home in me. And the time will come when you will realize this. So A, the Spirit's intercession is not mainly according to the will of God, but according to God himself. The Spirit intercedes for us that we may be fully conformed to the image of Christ. And so I just ask you this. I'm not trying to put you in a corner, but I'm just asking you this. We have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God completely. And then the question is, when will this happen to us and with us? And we have a choice. It can happen during our lifetime on the earth. If it doesn't happen then, it will happen during the millennial kingdom age, 1,000 years. How it will happen, we don't know. And we may not like it. Why do we have only this kind of choice? Well, you're not God. And God is God. I will say again and again, and many of the things that are even happening right now, we can cry out to him. He cares. He loves. The Spirit supplies. But there's no answers. No answers. And the Lord knows, just as a brother and a human being, there are a lot of unanswered questions in me. And I'm hoping that when we are with the Lord, I will get answers to my questions. But I have a little feeling here that maybe when we're with the Lord, I'll forget all the questions. But I'm not so sure that the Lord will forget the questions. He may say, Ron, just let me know. I'll let you know. Sorry, I'll let you know. Because the burden that's developing here is for all of us, that we will not depart from God because of a certain thing that's taking place. We will not be stumbled. We will just have the sense in a certain way, like Brother Nee, yes, this is such a difficult situation, but there is still joy of the Holy Spirit deep in me. Deep in me, there's joy. And I know the Lord is praying for me. Two, Christ is the pattern, and the Spirit prays that everything that happens to us will mold us into this pattern, the image of the firstborn Son of God. There's a mold, and we're like the dough put in the mold to be conformed to Christ in his death, and resurrection. So the Spirit is praying that everything that happens to us will mold us. It will not be in vain. And I believe many of you can testify, after the Lord shepherded me through that situation, I just had the sense deep within, there's more Christ in me. Every once in a while, I receive some rather brief text messages from a sister who was in the full-time training and graduated more than 24 years ago. She's now 48. And this time she just asked, you know, I want to have a child. I'm older. Why do I have this kind of situation? I want to be broken. And I need to respond to her and say, mention her name, sister, you need to realize by your sending this email, that indicates there is much more Christ in you. And you realize the Lord needs to break your outer man. Please be assured, it's already happening. You are progressing. Just let the Lord shepherd you through, and the Lord will be interceding. B, as a result of the Spirit's intercession, all things work together for good. That is, for the fulfillment of God's purpose. So that's the general subject, isn't it? Living for the fulfillment of God's purpose. And in the first message, we see we were saved for this, saved from a meaningless human life. In message two, we emphasized the joy of God. We paid attention to a number of wonderful verses. And we emphasized that verse in Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of Jehovah is your strength. And I so appreciated when that one couple, I think from San Jose, shared last night, both of them. I just really appreciated the Spirit flowing through them and the sister wisely telling us this joy really can be and is a spiritual weapon. Because when we have this joy, we're strengthened. And the enemy can never defeat a joyful Christian. And so the things are working together for good as a result of the Spirit's intercession. One, the working together of all things outside of us always follows the groaning of the Spirit within us. So the Spirit is interceding, and the things outwardly are taking place. The Lord does not leave us unsupplied. Two, God the Father is sovereign, arranges everything, and knows what is best for us. And so, I'm going to ask you this. Can you say, or do you want to be able to say, God the Father is sovereign, arranges everything, and knows what is best for me? On July 12th, several months ago, God the Father knew that the best thing for me was not to speak two more messages in the July training. That what was best for me is to be taken to the emergency room because of a certain situation, and then find out you have a much more serious situation along with that situation. And I can sincerely say, to shut the mouth of the enemy and give glory to God. That was the best thing for me at that period of time. I can sincerely tell you this. And maybe some younger ones, you can hardly believe what I'm saying. It's okay. I'm not bothered. You will eventually. The best. The best. He answers the Spirit's interceding by causing all things to work together for good. So he's not just arranging the situation. God is causing all things, not some things, not most things, all things to work together for good, that we would be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God for the corporate expression of the triune God. That's the goal. What is taking place in all of us is for God's corporate expression through the organic body of Christ. That's what we're living for. And when we consecrated ourselves to the Lord sincerely, at the time we had no realization, the connection between our consecration, offering our whole being, our whole life, everything, everyone related to us, to him, for our entire life on the earth. Then now, with our consent, the Lord is able to carry out what's in his heart concerning us. And eventually we'll realize what is taking place in me is not mainly about me. It's for the body, for my portion, for my function as a member. God's purpose is to have the organic body of Christ, who will be the one new man, eventually the bride, consummating into the new Jerusalem, the wife of the redeeming God. And we need to see the connection between our personal life as a Christian, as our human life on the earth, and God's eternal purpose, something far, far beyond just our very little sphere of function. Three, we need to realize that the reason we pass through sufferings is that God has a purpose, and that our sufferings are the, quote, all things that are working together for the accomplishment of this purpose. And so there will be sufferings. And there are different kinds. I can't go into detail. If you say, oh, I'm really suffering. I went to work today and my boss fired me. Then you find out, why? Because you had the habit of coming 40 minutes late to work and sometimes just leaving early. And we warned you a number of times. And so that's why you were fired. Don't say, oh, I'm suffering for the gospel of God. I'm a Christian. And he put, no. You're suffering because of your mistakes. But these sufferings have their arrangement for God's purpose. Maybe the time will come when God will explain why he did this. But he didn't create God-men. He didn't. He created human beings that needed to become God-men through Christ's redemption and his all-inclusiveness. And now we're going through the process. This is God's way. We have to just recognize it. God is God. And this is his way to fulfill our predestination, to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God. For according to the context, the good mentioned in verse 28 refers to our being conformed to the image of Christ as the firstborn Son of God. We are not in our own hands, but in the Lord's hands. We all need to realize this. No matter what the situation is, we are in the Lord's hands. And he has placed us in the process by which his purpose of confirmation is being fulfilled. We are all in a process, every one of us. And it will not stop until the Lord has reached his goal with us and his goal with all of us together. And so if we think we're in our own hands, still behind the scene, the sovereign God still has you in his hands. But when you say, I'm in my own hands, the enemy knows you're really in my hands now. Because you want to live out of yourself. You want the self to be the source. You think yourself is better than God concerning your particular situation. And you may think you're in your own hands, you're free, but you have no idea. The enemy would not tell you, you're really in my hands. And that is why we love all the saints, all of them, no matter their condition, whether they left for various reasons. We don't judge anyone, but there needs to be, from time to time, fighting warrior prayers for these dear ones. And we don't just pray about them. We say, enemy, take your hands off that sister. Take your hands off that brother. They are the Lord's. We rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus, the victorious Christ. And then we just call out to the Lord. Lord, bring them home. Bring them back for your glory. And the rest of point five, those who realize that they are in the process of God's purpose will have genuine peace. This is really true. We just realize I'm in the process of God. And then we're in genuine peace. And this genuine peace opens the way for joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And I believe many of you, right now, you're at peace. Even you're in a challenging situation. And you don't know how and when, if it will ever end. But you know that you're in the process. You don't understand why or what to do, but deeper than you realize, the Spirit is interceding for me. Christ is interceding for me. The body is standing with me, supplying me, and from time to time, members of the body will be fighting for me. I'm not alone. And so I realize I'm in this process of God's purpose. It's not meaningless. And the time will come when I will really thank the Lord. Have you ever, like I have done a number of times, given you retroactive thanks? Sometimes, even years later, you say, Lord, Lord, it took me a while to have the proper view, but now I can say, thank you. I can say, thank you. I didn't marry that girl, Sharon, when I was in my 20s. That would have ruined everything. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And now the last section is quite touching. About 10 minutes will be sufficient. God has called us with his purpose of conforming us to the image of his Son. So this is the calling. We all of us have been called by God for his purpose to be conformed to his Son's image. And the way to cooperate with God in his purpose is to love him. That's the way to cooperate. With the God whose ways you may not understand very well, but you love him. And in my searching through some of Brother Nee's testimony, I came across this section. Loving God means loving God's will. Not just loving the person. Remember Revelation 4:12. God's will is the source of every positive thing in the universe. And this was God's will for you to pass through this. And eventually, once we realize we're in the process, then we will experience the love of God beyond anything we've ever experienced before. The love of God will be indescribably real and precious and deep in your being. God is love. And God is going to saturate your being with himself as love. And I can't explain this, but I'm going to say now, at least I can't explain much, but we will not only be constituted with the love of God to such a degree that we can love all the believers the same, we can love all human beings the same, and we can even love our enemies. But here I apply the high peak of the divine revelation. So here it comes again, that God became man to make man God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. The same as God in life and nature. God is love. Get ready for this. I don't know who will be able to confirm this right away. God is going to make you love. God is love. He's making us the same as he is in his nature. You will just be the result of the constituting love in your being. One, to love God is to cooperate with him. And to cooperate with him is to give him an opportunity to work out his purpose in us and with us. This is an expression of our love. We pray, Lord God, I love you. I love you. Well, there needs to be a kind of love. It's not just something you just feel. You're living out in a particular way. You're doing something. You're caring for something. It's not just a feeling within. It directs your life and your relationships. So we can say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to cooperate with you. And I want to give him the opportunity to work out his purpose in me and with me. Lord, I love you. Sovereign God, I love you. I open my vessel to you for your purpose to be worked out, not just in me, but through me. Would you not have joy unspeakable and full of glory if you were standing before the Son of Man at the judgment seat and he would say to you, my dear one, through you, I was able to carry out God's purpose. Your life was for my heart's desire. Come into my joy, my wedding feast. Be one of the co-kings, because your life contributed to the fulfillment of God's purpose. Two, if we love God, everything will work together for our profit. That is our confirmation. Three, whether all things are a profit or loss depends on our love for God. The secret is to love him. And we need to pray for ourselves personally and intercede with the interceding spirit to pray for many others. Not that they will just change their ways outwardly. Lord, pour your love into their heart. Make your love so real. And because we'll see this verse, we can only love because you loved us first. Just love them. Love them. Don't judge them. Love them. And when the love of God comes, then we will realize everything will work together for our profit, for this confirmation. And to say again, whether it's a profit or loss depends on our love. And so the Lord doesn't just command us to love. He was saying, in order for this to be positive for you, you need to love, you need to love me. And so I'm going to love you more than ever before. Irresistible love is now coming to you to just saturate your whole being. And you will just spontaneously love me. And that will open the way. A and B, and little one and two. Quote, you shall love the Lord your God from your whole heart and from your whole soul and from your whole mind and from your whole strength. This is the Lord speaking. And not too long ago, I was considering this verse and it struck me. Only the Lord can love like this. I can't try to love the Lord like this with all my strength, mind, soul, heart. But Lord, live again in me this kind of love. Work into me this kind of love. This is your command. We say amen to it. But Lord, I cannot fulfill this commandment. The Lord would say, I know. I've been waiting for you to tell me that. Now let me do it. Let me be it. And I will make you a God lover beyond your dreams. B, we love because he, that's God, first loved us. And so I'm approaching the end in a minute or two. And this is something very simple. I just appeal to you. Please, let God love you today. This, open yourself to him and let him love you. Even that enemy of God for a while, Paul in Galatians 2:20, at the end of that verse, Christ loved me and died on the cross for me. You need to realize this personally. God loves you. And that shouldn't just be a teaching, a doctrine, not just a verse, but you realize God loves me. And then effortlessly, we love. And the Lord knows he's not only the God of joy, he's the God of love. Joy is an attribute. Love is God's essence. I'm going to make you the same as I am. Let me love you. Just come to me. I will not only give you joy, I'll take you beyond joy. I'll take you into my inner being of love and fill you with it. And then you will just, without trying, you will love in return. None of us can love God out of ourselves. God first loved us, that he infused us with his love and generated within us the love with which we love him and one another. So because God loved us, he infused his love into us. He infused, he dispensed it into us. And therefore, it generated within us the love with which we love him and one another. I'm now at the end. I'm thinking of Ephesians 4:16. How will the body of Christ be built up? Paul said, the body builds itself up in love. So, dear ones, we have today a day of joy, a day of love. Please let God pour love into you, and you will love in response, and the way will be open now at the end of the age for his eternal purpose to be fulfilled through us. Praise him. Amen.